Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good. That's great to hear. All right. My name is Ria Abraham. Some of you may not have seen me often because I come twice a month, sometimes once a month, owing to my career. But that wonderful, cute boy is my son and my claim to fame right here today. I've been a mother for only 6 years, so I'm highly inexperienced and very unqualified to be here. So the next 10 minutes is going to be solely by the power of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, our God and Savior, thank you for your word, your love, and your merciful grace. I pray, Father, you guide the words of my mouth and may it bring glory to your holy name today and every day hereafter. Amen. So today I'm going to need a lot of volunteers to help me with this sermon. So show of hands, how many of you have Bibles here today? A bit higher, please. All right, I'm going to call upon each and every one of you as I come up to the verses from the Bible, because I'd rather have God's word be renowned between these walls than my own. So let's start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Any takers?
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Thank you. So God created male and female to represent the fullness of God. He created male and female in his image. So what is God? He's our father and our mother. Let's get to the next one. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20.
Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living.
How can I start a sermon without bringing up Eve? The first woman to endure labor pain, the first beginning to all life forms on earth, well, only human life, and the benchmark to every mother hereafter as to what it means to be a nurturing, loving woman. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man is poor who had a godly mother." So let's start with a description of what a godly mother is going to be. A godly mother is not perfect. However, she prays and reads the word of God, for your children will imbibe your habits and routines and take that forward. She trusts God and obeys God and leaves the consequences to God. There are a couple women that we can think about in terms of faith. One would be Hannah. One would be Jochebed, who through faith left her baby boy in a little basket and allowed God to take it from there. That's immense faith. Let's see the other two women I wanted to talk about today in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So Lois and Eunice here are credited for the genuine faith in Timothy. It is rooted deep within Timothy because of his godly mother and his godly grandmother. This Spanish proverb, which says an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests, it definitely only refers to Spanish priests, not to our Malayali priests, disclaimers here. And no matter how much trouble you are in, your mother can and will make it better for you and help you through her actions, her words, and most importantly, her prayers. So let's continue with the characteristics of a godly mother. She is not perfect, but she displays generosity. She has a forgiving spirit. She creates an atmosphere at home that is welcoming, loving, and free. She loves unconditionally. She is persistent. There is nobody here who doesn't know what a persistent mother is like. We've all been through it and we all dread it, but we all rely on it too, for that's the only reason we get anything accomplished in life, including this sermon. My mother hounded me through the phone to make sure I do a good job. She lives an orderly and organized life, always with a very servient attitude. Let's check out Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15 to 28. Thank you. That was a lot to hear, but that was a lot that a woman carries forward for her home. She rises while it is yet night and begins her day of chores, responsibilities, and displaying perfect love. The next slide is a little picture I always get every Mother's Day. And the first time I got it as a mother, I thought, wow, I must be superwoman if I can carry the burden of a nurse, a chef, a chauffeur, a maid, a cook, a comedian. But as the years grew by, I noticed the two children behind. And today I pray for every mother in this room that you are blessed with those two children who, despite their youth and age, they recognize what their mother did for them every single day. They recognize what their mother does, that one single woman is equivalent to about 12 people's work. And that's my prayer for every mother here, that you have children that recognize that you are irreplaceable and that they step up to support you as and best they can. So we've gone over very quickly, the characteristics of a godly mother, but why should we honor our mothers? Now, the answer I would have gotten from my mother would be, because I said so, and that would be it. The answer my mother got from her mother would be the same, because I said so, and that would be it. But we're no longer raising us. We're raising millennials and Generation Z or I generation, whatever you call it, and that answer will not fly. We are going to be having to display patience. We're going to have to display transparency in our communication. We're going to have to communicate often. And we're going to have to provide a logical rationale to everything we ask them to do or everything we expect of them. But most importantly out of this, I think it is important for us to earn our respect and to get the honor from them in an organic and uncoerced way. And if all of that fails, then we ought to look to our Bible, because the Bible alludes to honoring your parents and even offers an incentive of long life when you honor both your parents, not just mothers. So I'm going to need a whole lot of volunteers over the next couple of slides. So this is biblical references of when and why you should honor your parents, starting with Exodus 20 and 12 and Deuteronomy 5:16, which is the same verse. Any takers? Thank you. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 to 24. Thank you, young man. Moving forward to the New Testament, lots of wisdom from Proverbs. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4 to 6. I'm going to read that aloud for everyone else to hear, but thank you, young lady. For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you can cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. The next one, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. There's that promise I was talking about, an incentive, and all you have to do is honor your father and your mother, the one and only commandment that has a promise along with it. All right, so far we've covered the godly characteristics of a mother. None of us are perfect, but all of us are working towards it. Then we've covered why we ought to honor our mothers and fathers, and now we're going to address a few ways on how we're going to address our mothers. So we'll start with row 1 and 2 because I see the children mostly sitting up front. So when you are a child, phase 0 to 12 is awesome, right, mothers? They think you are superheroes. Honoring mom comes naturally to them. Listening may not come naturally. That's a struggle, and that's training. Obeying may not come naturally, as in my household, but that's also a struggle for me and our son. And we're working on it. We are figures of authority at this stage. We are a source of comfort at this stage. We are also a source of nutrition, literally, in the first year of life. Let's see Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1.
A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke.
My next slide is dedicated to all children and teenagers and any adults who still need it. All right, moving on to the teenager. Now, at 13 to being a young adult, it becomes harder to listen and to respect your parents. This is a phase where you start to recognize your parents' shortcomings. You start to see their flaws. Now, despite their flaws, despite their shortcomings, it is your responsibility, thanks to all the verses we read before, to accept them and to forgive them. Forgive them their weaknesses as they have forgiven yours. Now, if, and this is a very big if you are one of the few kids who is constantly at odds with your mother or parent, then seek divine guidance. Pray for your relationship with your mother or your father. Root yourself in the Word of God, and the Spirit will provide you with the wisdom to discern what to learn from your mother and what to unlearn from your parents. And that is important in some households. Fortunately, not many homes in our culture. However, most important point, as a teenager, keep that listening going and respect your parents. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Thank you. And Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Thank you. All right, moving on. We've come to, well, that's for all our millennial kids. It's not really an unknown. How many of you have the gall to add your mother to Facebook or Instagram? I do. All right, face adulthood. So we're going to continue with listening, and that's probably the most critical skill that continues from phase zero to phase adulthood. Listen to provide attention to the woman who spent the core of her life dedicated to raising you. Appreciate her. She is at a phase where you've left home, you've gone to create your own families, and she's alone. Appreciate her and remind her of the things she has taught you. Appreciate her for her sacrifices. Appreciate her for being your coach and your mentor in every aspect of life. Let's read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Thank you. The most important thing here as an adult is you are required to provide for your parents, not just your mother, your father too. Provide financially, emotionally, and physically. Let's see John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. So this was very interesting to me. The Lord is in his dying hour, and there's maybe four or five sentences he said while he's up on that cross, but he makes sure he entrusts the care of his mother to John. And that was important perhaps culturally then, but that is an instruction, I believe, to each and every one of us, because it is our responsibility to provide and make sure our parents are looked after. I'm almost regretting bringing this up because now I'm worried my husband is going to start looking for a John or a Jose or a Jacob or a Jibu and entrust care of his mother to one of those people. But hopefully he takes it in good spirit. And as Abe Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe it to my angel mother. Here's a glimpse of the four women that we are celebrating in our household today. From New York, Canada, and Macomb, Michigan. Thank you to all my volunteers. And I request one of you to close in prayer.